Good morning, I'm Vince, I'm Attic. Finally, I'm not talking about the history. The handcuffs are off and I can, it's like 41 years clean and I don't know anything about the first step, maybe. Come on, guys. I got a lot on my mind. I'm going to get some new stuff out today. It's been on my mind. And, it's a lot of times when it's your first time sharing and it's hard to organize your thoughts. And I haven't planned anything, so it's just going to come as it comes. But I have been very heavily involved in writing about the 11th step and my experiences of prayer and meditation and trying to put it down. It's not just me. I mean, the message was here strong this weekend. You know, I really was enjoying it. You know, it's like, I'm just so impressed. But we're still seekers. It started off just as addicts seeking recovery. And we had that desire to stop using. And with it, everything works. Without it, you're screwed. And nothing happens without that. And then we get in here, and we stop using, and we stay stopped, and we start seeing the numbers. And all of a sudden, we wake up one day, and we don't feel that physical compulsion, and the mental obsession isn't there, and you realize it's like, oh man, it's been a week and I haven't even thought about drugs, and this, oh my God, what the hell's going on here? And it moves and grows. But at this point, I'd just like to welcome any newcomers, anybody that's here for the first time. I don't know. It's not like I want to apologize, but some of the things I'm going to talk about, I wouldn't have understood in my first month or 2 months. But I'll just say that Narcotics Anonymous was told to me early on is to stop using, start living program. You know, it's about getting back in the mainstream of life. And there was a great message. I think it was Thursday at Just for Today. But it's about, and that's what this journey is, rising to a point of freedom. It's about changing. I didn't get here to be the same sick person that I was. I didn't know I needed recovery. I just thought I'd just get off the drugs and I'll be all right. But there was a whole lot more worse wrong with me. I came in a juvenile delinquent in a grown man's body, and I'm not going to get into all that. Really, where I want to get into and start is conventions are just a great thing for me. You get to spend 48 hours working on this disease. You know, I would always go to step meetings, and because I didn't know there was any other way. We only had a white book back in 1981. And on page 6, Jimmy K wrote, "What can I do? What the program is, how to work. You know, fully conceive your innermost self that you're powerless over your addiction, and you move on to step 2. And that's what I thought you'd do. And that's what I started doing. And we were all so new. That there was nobody to show you how to do it, you know. So I just went off the exact wording of the steps. And pretty much we stayed clean by not picking up and helping the newcomer doing 12-step work. We had to, like, do step 1 and 12 service. And I ended up, my first convention, Randy and I went to the second East Coast convention. Yeah, I think it was like in Aliquippa, outside of Pittsburgh. And I remember standing there. There must have been, I don't know, 50 or 100 addicts in line waiting to get into this place. And I couldn't get in that crowd. I had to stand back and look at this. I had never seen that many addicts in one place clean. And I was just trying to take it in. What does this mean? And they were happy and hugging. And I just wasn't ready for that level of love energy yet. But I was impressed. It put something on my mind. And I had an opportunity to meet what you call predecessors of Bo S. and Chuck G. and Joe P. and a bunch of people that were key in getting our basic text written, and they really were kind. They were good to me. You know, they took me under their wings. One of them gave me a free coffee mug. I thought, what? You know, I still have it to this day. But it was our unity. You know, NA, it was like you still didn't know. You were wondering and hoping that this thing would take fire. But with that convention and seeing that and our numbers starting to increase, I just felt like we were here to stay. And I think to me the greatest thing that happened in the 20th century was Bill W. writing down those 12 steps and 12 traditions and them getting approved. The spiritual way that's unleashed, the freedom to have a God of your own understanding and to live a life based on spiritual principles. We're part of that wave. We're part of that light. And with it comes a responsibility that's laid out in the 12th step, which is just basically love and service to your fellow man. And it's a long journey. You don't, you know, what I'm sharing, you don't get well all overnight. You know, you don't get all spiritual. I still can't speak in tongues or levitate or any of that. But I want what you have, and I'm willing to make the effort to get it. I'll start with a little story Guzman shared about some things when he was a kid. Well, first I want to share, this is really part of how important the fourth step is. Okay, they're all important. But the fourth step really, really helped me see myself. Okay, I didn't know who and what I was and what was going on. You know, coming from a drug brain and a drug perception of who and what you are to like, okay, let's lay it out and let's take a look at the enemy and the assets. But so I started writing from my very first memory, and I suggest that to anybody in here. The first things that you remember, put them down and take a look at them, because you're going to learn a lot. And my first memory, and I'm embarrassed about this story, I was probably just turning 3. It was the summer, and it was really hot, and they didn't have air conditioners back in those days, or at least we didn't. And we had lived in a second floor apartment off of Gwin Oak Avenue, and my mother was ironing, and I'm running around. All I had on was underpants because it was that hot, right? And I'm running around the room, and we had these windows that opened out, so you had a big opening. Well, I wanted to fly. I had seen Peter Pan. All right? And there's the window. I took the pants off. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. Climbed up on the windowsill, and I'm staring out, and I remember this so clearly. the urge, the desire to fly. Well, if I want to fly, I got to jump. And I did. Okay? That's called compulsive behavior. And it's dogged me all my life. It's also paid off pretty good at times. But when you're that young, see, you don't realize these things aren't possible. The soul, your soul flies. It has its own eyes and ears. Where you came from, you're used to flying and moving like that. I didn't know here on earth there were other things to pull me down. So the woman downstairs was also ironing, and she saw this white little ass fall in a bush. They took me to the hospital. I was okay. I'm driving home. We're driving home. And this is a guy from my mother. She says, "You were really mad." It's another thing. Anger's a part of my story, my temper. Okay. So I'm identifying these in my four step. That's, you know. I said, "Why was I mad?" She said, You were going, "I knew why I couldn't fly. I didn't have none of that fairy dust." And it gets, there's the addict. Looking for something outside of me to do what I could not do on my own. I think of that every time I even reach for an aspirin. Can I do without this? Always looking for the big fix. Because that's what our journey's been. Right? Looking for people, places, things, money, clothes, property, sex, food, credit cards, shopping, and especially drugs. And I think a lot of us are really good at getting all that stuff. And then we get it, and it's like, is that all there is? Is it, you know? All of this in my fourth step, I became aware of. I went to, like, Dickeyville Nursery School. My mother showed me my report card. The teacher put a couple words on there. Lack self-control. And then one word. Hits. This is nursery school. And it goes on. I can't, there's no time to really, what I want to share to get in all my story and all that stuff. But I'm just sharing this because you can learn about yourself and you can see what's happening. As things went on and the home fell apart and my father ran off and I never saw or heard from him again, and I'm living with aunts and uncles and people that didn't want me, and that hole in the gut was growing. I'm 10 and I'm building the walls because I'm not going to let anything hurt me ever again. And I'm not going to cry because men don't cry, and I got a little brother I got to take care of. And I did not cry until I had 5 years clean, 25 years later. N.A. brought those tears. They were tears of joy. Working on the 6th East Coast Convention, we brought it home. We brought people from out of state to 12-step us to show us how to work this thing. And that's when I felt it, you know, driving over to the banquet hall and looking up at the hill on Shepherd Pratt. It's a mental hospital where I spent 2 months kicking my habit. And this thing goes, "Vince, you've come a long way." I said, "Yeah." You know, it feels good. And I got over to the banquet hall and saw all those balloons, and Shelley was standing there, and she's passed away. She was one of the original members of she's down the other end, and I'm walking towards her. And that's just when the tears started coming. And they were tears of joy. And I thought, God, you motherfucker. Of all the things I would ask for in this world, that's one I wouldn't ask for, and it was the greatest gift. I don't know what's best for me. I need to surrender my will and my life to care of a loving God, which is another really great thing. Don't ask me how. But in the second tradition, we have the words, loving God. That gets us off the hook. Because in my world, my experience, God is love. You know, it's really that simple. And love is all there is. That's what I've learned. And I use that. So, this program is mystical. I could, from my fourth step, I could line out, it would take me 20 minutes, all the coincidences that fell into place that got me my first day clean. It's amazing. And it's, I listen to everybody else's stories too. They're amazing. You know, should be dead. You know, we're insane. We're a wet brain. You know, and we're not. We're here for a reason. God's not done with us yet. There's more to do. More to give. And I learned to identify my defects of character. And those are those qualities about me that when I live them out, they cause pain, suffering, and unmanageability. They're the door that opens this disease to coming into my life and the possibilities of fanning that flame. And I need to be vigilant on that. And after years of recovery, because I was still doing stuff in recovery that wasn't, you know, good behavior. You know, I was doing a lot of good things, but not everything. And it was killing me. And I finally was down there begging God. You know, yeah, I am. I am ready. I am ready. And the funny thing is I can't remove them. I learned that in the seventh step. But I could ask. I could humbly ask, and I asked. I was ready, and I meant it. God, please remove these defects of character, and then trust. I trusted over time, you know, maybe it'll go all at once. But if they don't, let's hope it goes like my recovery was. Little by little, one day at a time, I was getting better. My first sponsor told me, Vince, it's like this. If you told 10 lies yesterday, shoot for 9 today. It's progress, not perfection. And I beat myself up so much. I hope you don't. Yeah, we've got to forgive others, but we need to learn to forgive ourselves too. Okay? It's hard to see yourself. I can see you, but I can't see me. But from my fourth step, I also saw how much God loved me. Okay? And I saw what a mess I was. And I thought, who the hell am I to judge you or anybody? We're all one. We're all the same. We're addicts. We don't have to think twice about this question. We know. I mean, this is spiritual stuff. I've been where you've been. I've seen what you've seen. I've felt what you've felt. It might be different neighborhoods, different basements, jail cells, whatever, emergency rooms. My story, all you got to do is watch the first few episodes of The Wire. That's where I use it. I can't watch it. It screws my head up so bad. I know your hearts. I know your intentions. And I know from, let's say, higher souls that I've had the opportunity to talk to, they're all impressed by addicts, recovering addicts. They say we're really high souls because we've been through hell and mapped the place out. We've taken on a load of karma, and we're burning it off now, one day at a time. And we're shining. Again, I can see it. I see the speakers this week, you know. I see it in others. And the programs made that happen. Ooh. So we're seekers. I got a hunger. Back as a kid, again, I remember being a 10-year-old boy. And this time of year, it's spring. We brought up Catholic, right? I'm living on my uncle's farm. He took me and my brother in at that time. He thought we weren't doing too good in the city. And he had 5 boys. There were 7 of us, you can imagine. And they were wild and crazy as Mark and I. But at 10 years old, we're trying to be good little boys. It's Good Friday, right? And we're taking a walk with the dogs out in the country. And you're supposed to be quiet, not talk from noon till 3. That's what we were told to do. You know, because that's when Christ was dying on the cross. And so we're trying to do that. I'm trying to be a good little Catholic boy. And I'm walking along. And you say, I got thirsty. And I've been thirsty all my life. And I noticed right over there, coming out the side of a hill, was a spring, bubbling water, cool. This is from my 4th step. Because you got to figure out, start finding out how that contact, that loving hand, has been in your life all along. So I start walking over towards the water. Now, it wasn't really a voice in my head. I call it a knowing. I don't know how to explain this. I'm 10 years old. And if you can feel a broken heart for a moment, and that hole in the gut, and I cried out on the inside, Daddy, because I just still couldn't understand why my father took off. And we didn't know. And it hurt. And this knowing, this thing comes into my head. It says, don't you know I'm your father? Mm-hmm. And I will never leave you alone. And I got dosed that day. All my youth, and I couldn't forget it. I knew there was something more. Because at that time in my life, that was all that it was. You know, there's most of my life up until I got to NA, there's got to be something more than this. There's got to be. It's like, screw this. This is like a prison or something, you know. I'm not buying in. I can't. I can't buy in. And, we got 12 steps that rise to a point of freedom. I can break out. How do I break out? I climb that ladder in 12 steps and 12 traditions. Get service, share, give, love, hug. And the steps, fortunately, I just got put into a situation, however you want to call it, another coincidence, but in working on our literature, I got exposed to so many people with so much clean time and so much in-depth experience working these steps that I just like kept taking that information in like a sponge. And so it's just been a part of my everyday living. Then, you know, I got to a point where I started knocking on that door at the 11th step. You know, I heard that line, knocking, it'll open. I'm banging on it for 10 years. Okay? So wherever you're at, you know, it says, we sought, we seekers, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. At that point in time, by the time you get there, you have some sort of a conscious awareness of God. You can feel it in these convention meetings. You can feel it in a love. You can feel it in a hug. You can feel it when you're sponsoring a couple really sick and slimy guys. And one's looking at the other, and he's 12-stepping each other so that they won't use. And I'm watching God in action because I just pulled this one guy out of prison and this one out of an emergency room from a drug overdose. And they got all of 3 days clean and are trying to help each other through that day. And I thought, man, this is as close to angels as we'll ever get. It doesn't matter how much clean time you got, man. That light's shining. It's there in you. Even though you felt it was dead, I know from my last drug overdose, when I went out, there was nothing. Just like, you know, when you go to sleep and you have no dreams or no memory. And then all of a sudden, I saw a little bit of a light. Like they say, you know, a tunnel or something. And that knowing came. It says, you want to go out there? And I'm curious, always, for good or bad. I got to know. I said, yeah. Damn it, it went, are you sure? And I went, yeah. And that's when I accelerated through it, you know what I mean? And I came to, and boom, I'm strapped in a down in an emergency room. I got tubes in every hole in my body, and the first thing I'm thinking is, I made it, because I could see my hands moving, right? And my feet, because the first thing that goes when an overdose is your motor mechanisms die in your head. A lot of that, you know? And the next thought was, yeah, it's just a matter of time before you use again. Mm-hmm. Just like that. But the journey starts there, and I woke up one morning, I'm still in intensive care, and there's a card on my chest. And I pulled it up, and it said, all things are possible to he who believes. Mm. Somehow that made sense to me, where I was. And I was hallucinating and all that shit. But there's always been a hand there, leading and guiding me. So we saw through prayer and meditation. And the prayer part, we've been doing it. God, get me out of this mess. God, help me. God, forgive me. Anytime, this is the way I put it, I just keep it simple. Because some of this stuff is coming out complicated, but you can pull it all back to something simple. Love, service. But this was, prayer to me is anytime your thoughts are on God. It doesn't matter where. It can be reading it from some spiritual literature, or in a church, or, you know, sitting in a meeting right now and talking about it. Every morning before I meditate, I'll have my coffee, and it takes me 10 minutes. I'll just flip, read the Just for Today and the Spiritual Principle of the Day, that kind of thing. It just sets the tone. It sets the atmosphere for what I want to do, because I want to meditate. I want to score. I want to go home. I want all of what these steps have to offer. And not, I don't want all of what the world has to offer. Okay, I've had enough of that. And there's lots of really good prayers. And part of my 11-step work, I went to lots of different churches and synagogues and people that meditate. I was just, you know, and I met wonderful people. People that I felt like 10 times better than me. You know, they're just more honest, clean, bright, beautiful, loving. So those paths work for all those people. You know, I don't want to talk any of that stuff down. If whatever you're doing, keep doing it. It's where you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'm just sharing, you know, mine. And my main thing was I wanted to learn how to meditate. I wanted to make or improve this conscious contact with God as I was beginning to understand. And again, it was a long journey. Whatever, however that works for you. Like, it started with me getting off work on a Friday, throwing my bed mattress in the back of the pickup truck and a coffee pot, and driving down the Skyline Drive, and I'd make it down there to an overlook and park as the sun was going down, and I'd lay out under those stars, and I'd spend the whole day with my higher power. It was all at that time, it was, God, are you there? Come on, I'm going, you got to go with me. Let's see if we can connect. And nature was the first area where I started connecting. It always was. Bad Vince, 1969, had a beach stand and a drug business. And all I had to do was lay on that beach, you know, and say, you want to surf, Matt? And the other guys would come. But I was mesmerized by staring out at the horizon and the waves steadily coming in, the sound, right? It's the repetition. And it just caught me. I didn't ever want to be anywhere else. You're staring out into the infinite, which we can't comprehend or understand. And the ocean. It all has meaning as you get into it and discover it. Or staring at the stars at night. Whatever it takes. But that's how that started. You know, you can experience God in so many places. But there is, at least in my understanding, a limit of what we can experience because we're trapped in this body. And we only can know, our mind can only know what it can get through our 5 senses. What we can see, feel, touch, taste, and hear. Right? Now, a lot of times we can feel that love, and that's God, okay? And we can see it. It's easy to see it in a child. But when you get us, and we're all messed up, it's hard. It takes work, okay? But it's there. Because we're all souls to me. What you're looking at, this ain't me. This is a body that I'm using to get around here in my earth walk. I had things I had to learn, things I had to do, things I have to clear out. And one of them, I'm busting on that door of meditation and making that contact. And you can too. I don't have any abilities that know anybody in this room. I'm not any smarter, holier, purer, or any of that than anybody sitting in here. It's just that at 41 years, this is where I'm at. I wasn't here at 20, you know. But I'm trying to lay down a vision for you that more will be revealed. Because in early recovery, I was meeting these people that had 10, 15, 20, 10 more years clean. And just, I wanted to know, where's this thing go? Where is it leading us? You know? I see that line. Having had a spiritual awakening. What is that? Do you have it? And little by little, as you keep going through the steps, you don't have to stand there, stay on one forever. You know what I mean? It's like step three, your first time, okay? Do your best with it. And do that fourth step, because you don't know what your will in your life is anyway that you're turning over. Okay? So they just keep reinforcing it. All right, and keep moving through them, and each time you move through them, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, your awakening, your awareness. And I got a spiritual teacher because I needed someone that could teach me how to meditate. And I wasn't going to do anything that you can't do. Anybody here in NA. And by that I mean, if you have religious beliefs, then you got to be able to do this too and not be in conflict. It can't matter what age, race, creed, religion, lack of religion, education, any of that kind of stuff. And it's got to be free. And you got to be able to do it anywhere, at any time. And you can. It's not in conflict for anybody. And there's ways, you'll, as you get on your journey, there's ways you will learn how to do it and what works for you. You will learn what you're up against, which is your mind, which is the prison. Because the minute you close your eyes, it goes off. It will not let you get still. It can't handle it. It has to think. There's a way to stop it. You close your eyes and like, oh, I gotta get the clothes out of the dryer. I gotta make a sandwich for work. No. Just like I used to say here, I still say it. God is three letters, G-O-D, that we use to describe what can't be described. Okay? It's that simple. We all have these different understandings, but to understand the infinite, always was and always will be, and all-knowing and all-loving and all these things, our minds can only grasp so much, not the whole thing. You'd explode. Not in this body. So the mind can't understand that. It feels threatened by it. It rebels. And that's why meditation's a daily discipline. Mm-hmm. Prayer and meditation every day. Little by little, you start overcoming that. And if you can only make 5 minutes, that's good. And you shoot for six. I'm not saying this to brag. I do 2 hours every day. I ain't going out the door. It's the boss place. This is what I was born for. To be free. And go home. Because in the fourth step, after a few of them, I learned where I came from, who I am, what I am, what I'm supposed to be doing while I'm here, and where I'm going. These are the key questions that every person, in my mind, needs to answer. And if you're not consciously aware of them, you want to answer them, but you're not aware yet. The steps, that's part of this awakening of spirit in the 12th step. And it's ongoing, and again, doesn't all happen overnight. And don't beat yourself up, because it's like, again, I'm not talking in tongues yet. But it's doable. I'm trying to get this off my chest, because the seed was planted in me in 1987 by Tom Catton. He wrote Mid-Pacific Serenity in our basic text. And I worked with him on our steps. And back then, he would joke. He made it like that. He'd say, yeah, I'm a vegetarian, and I meditate. And he was coming from another place, mm-hmm. another perspective. And he'd say, yeah, I know, I'm airy-fairy. He'd be like that. Just try and, you know, you can chill, you can relax. I know I'm far out. Okay? At that time, and for many, many years afterwards, at least another, I didn't meet anybody in NA that meditated. That's our next step. This is our next frontier. I'm looking at that meeting last night, and I made a division. Those who had, like, from 20 to 40 years, okay, mm-hmm. really proud of you. You've done such a great job sponsoring people, 12-stepping, service work. It's like matured so much. And then I looked sort of from 20 down, because that's the next group that's going to be carrying the ball as you pass it off. Feeling good about that, you know. It's all of us doing this together. We're all one. And we're in something that's big. Bigger than we thought when we first got into this. So there's work to be done, but the payoff is huge. And I didn't realize this, and that's why I'm like obsessed, I guess, at this point in time. Until I get all this stuff written down and get it cleared out. That's how I got clean talking, right? Running my mouth and going back and forth. I'm going to work through this because I just can't believe what happened. We're trapped. It's cell phones. It's money, clothes, jobs, needs, TV. Living in the USA in 2023, it's like the perfect trap to keep you spiritually numb. Okay? And just live out your life, and then one day the doctor says, you got 30 days left to live, and it's like, oh shit. The fuck's going on? What do I do now? Because you can't take it with you. I came in here naked, fuck naked. Now I'm going back out the same way. And so what is beyond there? And you'll find out. You'll get what you need to know about it. I found my heart's desire in deep meditation. I found what I've been looking for and searching for my whole frickin' life. The love. Imagine the most love that you've ever experienced in your life. It could be the birth of a child or whatever. That's not even one molecule that's there. And it's in everyone and everything. It's, I don't even know what to say. But once you start experiencing things like this, it's never the same again. You can't be the same. And it's just like, and I'm starting to get down to where I'll close. It's like when I had 4 months clean, and had gone a week and hadn't even thought about using. And I thought, oh my God, something big is going on here in this Narcotics Anonymous. Holy shit. And I wanted every addict to get this, because I had never met an addict who had stopped using and stayed stopped. We didn't even have, you know, society's solution was methadone maintenance. And, well, now it's like the same thing with developing a conscious contact and seeking this awakening of spirit. I don't know. We can call it our second promise. I know we're here to stop using drugs. But that desire to stop using, it morphs and changes as you're in here working your steps. It's a desire, it becomes a desire to recover, a desire to grow, a desire to change, a desire to be the best man or woman, you know, that we can be. And then it takes another shift at the 11th step eventually. At the time when you're ready, the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So don't be knocking yourself, okay? Desire to have a conscious contact with God. I want it. I need it. This is it. This is the boss place. And I'm not going out the door without it. And, I didn't know that all this was going to happen. You know, 40 years, I've been through a lot of hell, a lot of ups and downs. My guts getting ripped out. But, you know, it's one step at a time. I keep moving. Keep trusting. My higher power is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, just for today, you never have to use again. I think because I've just come back, then it's time for me to stop, because you don't need to hear me. I want to say good morning. I want to say thank you. And I can say this. I couldn't say this, I don't know, maybe my first 15 years. I love you. You're in my dreams. You're in my heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Vince. Well, we about did it. About to close the chapter on 14, right? Beauty of that is we get to open the chapter on 15, right? And I'm fired up. I'm ready for it. Is Megan here? Do you still have pre-reqs? Okay, I think there are some pre-reqs. There's no pre-reqs? Okay. All right. Well, I'd like to thank all the subcommittee members for all the work that they've done, all the speakers for coming, and all of you guys for coming, right? It takes all three of us to make it happen. It was a great, great event and weekend. I would like to thank Vince again for sharing a great meeting. And we will close the meeting with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.